answer you to, he'll see you through. God is just a prayer away. Meet him each hour, night or day. His ear is never closed to your cares and woes. God is just a prayer away. Meet him each hour, night or day. His love so divine joins his heart and mine. For God is just a prayer away.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is just a prayer away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, our friend Lazarus is fallen asleep, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. It is written, now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he spake of taking rest in sleep. It is written, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? It is written, the Master is here and calleth for thee. A certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, of the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The sisters therefore sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and on this earth he came to stand. I know eternal life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand. And I know his promise never faileth. The word he speaks, it cannot die. Though cruel death my flesh assaileth, yet I shall see him by and by. Now I know my mansion he prepareth, that where he is, there I may be. O wondrous thought, for me he careth, and he at last will come for me. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message from John chapter 11, the resurrection of Lazarus. The following is a short list of gospel messages that could be preached from the resurrection of Lazarus, as found in John chapter 11. Number 1, Mary and Martha sent a messenger to Jesus with the information, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. Beyond this, they said nothing else. They just laid the problem before the Lord, not asking for him to come and heal their brother. They only laid the problem before him and let him do with it as he would. The sickness in this family that has such a close relationship with Jesus reminds us that the person who is close to the Lord is not immune from disease. The Christian can get just as sick as anybody else, and when it happens, there is a blessing that comes with it, as we are reminded of our mortality. Each pain is a wake-up call, and like Mary and Martha, we want to get in touch with Jesus immediately and with his word and his church. As a Christian, we have a right to go to God in prayer for sickness by virtue of the fact that we are not our own, for we have been bought with a price, a very high price at that. As Peter says, we have been redeemed not with silver and with gold, but with the blood of a lamb without spot and without blemish, even the blood of Christ. Lesson number 2. Jesus said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." Life is not over at the moment of death. It goes on for all of eternity. This is evident from the other story about another Lazarus in Luke 16. And this story of the resurrection of Lazarus of Bethany stands almost back to back with the other story of Lazarus. This is significant because it teaches us that death does not end at all. Death did not end at all in the story of the other Lazarus. The rich man and Lazarus are both alive after they died. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be just as conscious as to where we are and what we're doing after we are dead as we are right now. Although Jesus said that Lazarus had fallen asleep, the Scripture speaks of the Christian as being asleep in Jesus. But it is only the body that sleeps. The soul or spirit is just as much alive as it ever was. Paul also says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Jesus said Lazarus, his friend, had fallen asleep. I go that I may waken him out of sleep. It is good for us to remember as Christians, we also have a friend in heaven. Then there is also another sense in which people fall asleep. Paul warned the church at Rome, chapter 13, "It is high time for you to awake out of sleep. For now is salvation nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Eternity is closer than we think. Get into a car and drive down the road at almost any speed. And when a car comes in the opposite direction, if 3 feet is all the distance between you and a head-on collision, you may be just 3 feet from being able to hear the angels sing, or from hearing the shouts and the cries of the damned. So wake up. It is high time to awake out of sleep. Then again, when people are physically asleep, they have dreams and fantasies. One of the biggest spiritual fantasy many have today is that on the judgment day, God will line up the human race, and Jesus will proclaim, "Father, forgive them all, for they knew not what they did." Ladies and gentlemen, that is the biggest fantasy a mortal can have. That fantasy may turn out to be an eternal nightmare. Lesson number 3. Jesus abode 2 days in the place where he was. Why did he wait? Lazarus was probably dead. It took a day to come and tell him. It took a day for him to return to Bethany. He abode 2 days where he was. Whatever the reason, we know that the Lord does not operate according to our timetable. Most of us are like Moses in Numbers chapter 12. Miriam and Aaron, in jealousy against Moses, had spoken against Moses and the Ethiopian woman he married. God gave Miriam a good dose of leprosy. Moses prayed for her. His prayer was short and to the point. Moses prayed, "Heal her now. O Lord, I beseech thee." We also want our prayers answered, and answered right now. Jesus answered the prayer of Mary and Martha, but he waited 2 days before he got started. The Lord had said this sickness was for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. The Lord's delay made it possible in this case to give this family a far greater blessing than they ever dreamed of having. Lesson number 4. Jesus said, "Let us go into Judea again." The disciples reminded the Lord that the Jews were seeking to kill him, and it would be dangerous to go at this time. Now Jesus knew this. He knew that if he went to raise Lazarus, it would bring him to the very brink of the cross on Calvary. But Jesus told them, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he sees the light of this world. If a man walk in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." You see, Jesus used this illustration. He compressed our time on earth, likened it to a period of 12 hours. Most people spend the whole 12-hour lifetime walking and stumbling around in the dark. Many of them intend to come into the light sometime, but tragically, many of them die at 10:30. So then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." That statement someday will be said of every one of us, young or old. It will be said, "He is dead." It will be said, "She is dead." At that time, the words of the psalmist in Psalm 116 will be very most comforting. When the Lord said, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Lesson number 5. Both Martha and Mary said the same thing to Jesus. "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." It may appear that no one ever died in the presence of Jesus. At least Mary and Martha thought so of their brother Lazarus. So Jesus told Martha, "Thy brother shall rise again." She said, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Martha's faith, like ours, was limited. Martha believed that Jesus could raise all the dead at the last day at one time. But she did not believe he could raise one man from the dead as he stood before her. We also believe that God can raise all the dead. He can sit on the throne of judgment, command legions of angels when he comes again. But we're not so sure he can work things out in our lives now here on earth. So Jesus told Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he shall die, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Ladies and gentlemen, there is no proof that Jesus can raise the dead from books of science or books of philosophy or books of mathematics. There is no university that has a course explaining the virgin birth and the details as to how God will resurrect the dead. Actually, there's no proof at all except the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. The most critical question about the whole matter of the second coming and the judgment is the question Jesus asked Martha, and the question that we also must answer. Jesus said, "Believest thou this?" Your answer to that question can lead to your eternal salvation. For the Christian, the triumphant words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 are appropriate. "Death shall be swallowed up in victory." Lesson number 6. Martha returned home with a secret message for Mary. "The Master is here and calleth for thee." The Master also calls for us in a very true sense as he summons us to the cross. Hebrews 13 tells us, "Wherefore also Jesus, that he might sanctify the people through his blood, suffered without the gate. Let us therefore go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." Whenever a lost sinner hears the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection, it can be said, "The Master is here and calleth for thee." That is the way it was in the statement of Acts 2:39 on the day of Pentecost, the day the church began. Peter had preached the story of the cross and informed them the promise of salvation was for them and to their children and to all that were afar off, "as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him." He calls us as we hear the gospel story proclaimed about his sacrifice on the cross. Just before that, he had given them the instructions to "repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So it can be said, "The Master is here and calleth for thee." Number 7. Then there is that famous verse in John 11:35. Jesus wept. Twice Jesus is said to have wept. Actually, 3 times. Once in Hebrews 4, verse 11, but there it says he had strong crying and tears. Twice it says that he wept. Once here at the grave of Lazarus, and again in Luke 19, verse 41. There he wept over the city of Jerusalem. 2 different Greek words are used. In John 11, at the grave of Lazarus, Jesus wept tears silently. But in Luke 19, the word for wept includes sobbing with loud, audible sound of weeping. Twice it says that Jesus wept. It seems that his weeping over the guilt of lost humanity was much greater than his weeping over the loss of a loved one who was prepared to die anyway. Paul said concerning the Christian, "We sorrow not as the rest who have no hope." It is one thing to sorrow over a person who is prepared to die, and another to sorrow over one who is not prepared to die. Lesson number 8. Behold how he loved him. The Jews who had come to comfort Mary and Martha were impressed when they saw that Jesus wept. It was evident that he loved Lazarus greatly. So let it be seen in us regarding our own spiritual condition. Behold how he loves us. John tells us about that love in 1 John chapter 4. "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the sacrifice for our sins." Look at the cradle in Bethlehem. Behold how he loved us. Look at him in his temptation, tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Behold how he loved us. We see it again as he died on the cross, tasting of death once for every man and feeling the guilt of every sin that we have ever committed. Is there any doubt? Behold how he loved us. Angels must oftentimes have marveled. Behold how he loved them. Number 9. Some said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have caused that this man had not died? The answer is yes, he could have. What a comfort for us in the matter of salvation. Could not this man who saved others also save me? When I consider Saul of Tarsus, who murdered and tortured Christians, tore down churches and tried to stamp out the church, could not the same Lord who saved him also save me? The answer has to be yes. Look at Peter, who, after living with the Lord 3 years, cursed and denied that he knew him. If the Lord would forgive him, will he not forgive me? The answer has to be yes. Look at David. If he would forgive him who was guilty of adultery and murder, would he not also be able to forgive me? Lesson number 10. Roll away the stone from the door of the tomb. We have often noted that the Lord will not do for us what we can do for ourselves. In John 2, he told the servants to fill the water pots with water before he turned the water into wine. Here he tells them to roll away the stone before he raised the dead. Then, when they did all they could do, all in both cases, he stepped in and worked the miracle. In times of sickness, we need to do all we can first. Take the shots, get the MRI, get the operation. Do all you can do first, and then God will step in and do the rest as it pleases him. What a thrill it must have been for those people who rolled away the stone that day to be used by the Lord for so great a miracle. And we're not far behind. He uses us today to work the miracle of salvation by what we can give and do. We must do our part first. Then Jesus works the miracle of our salvation. Martha said, Lord, he hath been dead 4 days already and stinketh. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no smell more offensive than the smell of a rotting human corpse. And this reminds us of the spiritual rot of the unforgiven sinner. Paul tells us in Ephesians that Jesus made us alive when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Before we became Christians, we were all spiritually dead. I'm not overdrawing the picture when I say, as an unforgiven sinner, the spiritual rot of sinners in that condition is offensive to God. Now, this is the only resurrection of Jesus performed on a corpse that had begun to rot. He had been dead 4 days, but whether 4 days or 2,000 years, the conclusion is the same. Jesus had power to raise the dead, even a corpse that had begun to rot, no longer how long it may have been. Lesson number 11. Then when Lazarus was raised from the dead, he came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Some who have died to sin and are resurrected from the waters of baptism in the likeness of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus do not arise to walk in a newness of life. Paul tells us in Colossians that we are raised with Christ. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. If we have been raised with Christ, let us shed the grave clothes. Loose him and let him go. Many are walking around in their grave clothes today. They were Christians, they were drunkards before accepting Christ. And it seems they have made no change after becoming Christian. Loose him and let him go. Many find the parts of the shroud of death still clinging to them. We need to assist the new Christian in any way we can to rid him of the garments of death. Loose him and let him go. Then finally, lesson number 12. Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. What a voice Jesus must have had. John in Revelation describes it as the voice of a trumpet, a loud voice. He had no need for amplification, no need for a transmitter. His voice was not only heard by those who were close to the tomb, but heard in the spirit world. Lazarus, come forth. There were many men named Lazarus, but only one came back. The Lazarus in Luke 16 did not return, nor did any of the others. Lazarus, come forth. Notice there was no command to wake up and come forth. Nor did he say, get up and come forth. The dead in Christ are ready just as they are, waiting for the command on that day, come forth. Lazarus was glad to come back, because he would be present with the Lord. With his case, to be absent from paradise was good to be present with the Lord. For us, it's the other way around. Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To depart, he said, and be with Christ is very far better. So, I know not the form of my mansion so fair. I know not the crown that I there then shall wear. But I know that my Savior will welcome me there, and that will be glory for me. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. And until next week at the same time, don't forget to tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away. God is just a prayer away.